A Night In is brought to you by Ashwood Music.
I'm Nick Elliott, rock art photographer, and we're having a night in.
Saturday night, and we've got another night in with my two very special guests, Sue Royce, Mickey Steed.
Hello, darling.
Good
Hello.
To see you both again. And we're hours away from 2018.
Yeah, I suppose.
Another year older.
On whose track of the day? We're Saturday night, aren't we now?
Saturday night.
Yeah.
Saturday night.
There's not a lot of this year left.
No, cold winter Saturday night, but it's not as bad as it was when we did the Christmas special.
No.
The weather's a little better.
Yes.
So the nights are drawing out.
Yes.
Or some shit like that.
It's all up from here. Well, that's a theory anyway.
Well, that's what people used to say, weren't it? Oh, well, yeah. The nights will soon be drawing out.
Yes.
My mum used to say that.
After the winter solstice.
Your mum says that now, does she?
Yeah.
She really?
Always makes a point around December the 21st of saying, oh, of course it's starting to...
The winter solstice.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Goodness me.
Yeah.
Strange how people gauge time in that respect, isn't it? You know, it's really odd.
Yeah.
We do our house, that's for sure.
You're a pagan.
My husband particularly works on the solstice-y type things, and you just know after the summer solstice, we always feel a bit meh because you just know that the nights are going to start drawing in, it's going to start getting colder, and where I live, it gets real harsh in winter, and you just think, oh, God.
Misery.
let's just hang in there until the winter solstice, and it's all upwards from there. You know, after you've hit that point, then it all
yes.
be right.
It starts on the rise again.
Yeah. You know, you're on the out again.
I'm actually quite a fan though of the winter, really. Certainly, well, I was born November, so
yes,
you know, I always think it's my time.
Yeah. Yes,
my kind
yes.
of time.
Bright,
this time,
bright and clear, and you know, when it's crisp and it can be lovely.
Crisp and even.
It's when it's wet and cold and just generally grey and a bit meh. That's when I retreat indoors and just don't want to come out again.
Gets you down a bit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but then, you know, you've always got roaring fires and hot chocolates and fluffy jumpers and stuff
like
that.
I like November. That's nice. I was born in November, and there's something about it. There's still plenty of leaves in the trees, but the colours are fabulous.
It's a Scorpio thing, isn't it?
Is that what it is?
A lot of creatives, yes. Scorpios, aren't they?
Mm. Yeah, is that what it is?
Yeah, and I think they're actual fact. I think the highest suicide rate... Scorpios.
Are they?
Yeah.
Gosh.
Well, you get to that stage where you just think, oh, bollocks, I'll blow my fucking head off.
That's a nice thought going into the new year.
You know, telly's not very good tonight, you know.
Don't do that at home, kiddies.
Down.
Yeah.
You know.
Chelsea have lost.
44 Magnum.
You know, yeah.
Yeah, most powerful angle in the world. Blow your head clean up.
Well, if you will follow silly games, that's what you're getting.
I have no defence.
Anyway, we all have a wonderful Christmas?
As always.
Did you have a wonderful
fabulous.
Christmas? Yeah. Good gig?
Yeah, it was lovely.
Good gig?
Yeah.
Madly busy.
Was it? All your cooking and all that vibe going on?
Yeah, it's always the bit in between always feels like this lull, this sort of, oh, I'm not quite sure what's going on now for a bit.
Yes.
And then, of course, you know, you have the new year and it peaks and you go to the parties and things and then January, bang, that's it, everybody's on their arse.
Now, do you get a party? I've only ever been to one New Year's Eve party and that was it. That was a miserable affair. It really was bad.
I've had a few memorable New Year's Eve parties.
Have you really?
I have.
Oh.
Yeah. One notable one was a friend of mine. We got Kermelink, which was German hunting schnapps. That ended very badly.
Oh, dear.
No, this was a friend of mine's gaff. Mum and Dad, whatever. It's the old traditional Hollywood thing. Mum and Dad, bugger off, you know. Holiday, whatever.
Yes.
Everybody around there for
of
a party.
Course. Yeah.
Full of motorcycle, you know, riders and bikers and everything else. Pretty raucous, you know. Scantily clad women.
Was there?
Yeah, a lot of that going on. But, God, it was quite a miserable affair because, everybody just got so ill.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then spent until June getting over it.
Getting over it, yes.
You know, self-inflicted pain. I've never really got my head around that. Yeah, it's like hitting yourself with a stick, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And you see the fun
it's
sort.
It's definitely overrated.
And you always say, I'm never doing this again.
Yeah.
And, Yeah, you know, depending on how bad you fall, depends on how long you wait. You wait till you forget about it and on you go.
Yes.
No, very strange. But I'm really pleased that both of you could get back for our special kind of...
It's lovely to be here.
Pre-New Year's Eve.
Yes.
Didn't want to do a New Year's Eve gig. There, now, all that old Lang Syne knackers and that, that's not for...
No.
No, it's not for us, I don't think, is it? You know, that
cake
linking hands and all that kind of stuff. You know, but I could open the show with a bit of this.
Yeah, I think I've got all of it already.
Because I think pretty much this is the kind of condition that you're in around about this time of year.
Yes, I suppose. Yeah.
Comfortably numb.
Yes.
Comfortably numb, yeah. Yeah. Food coma. You sort of lie there on the sofa with all the soft scented chocolate going, oh.
One of the greatest guitar solos
ever
recorded, I think.
Mm. Yeah.
Would you agree, Mike?
Definitely. Yes, it is. Yes, an iconic piece of music. Well, album as well. I mean, the conflict that was going on during the making of this album, it's a, you know, it's a tribute to them that they actually managed to get something out that was
worth bothering with. Yeah.
Well, often that is, you know, creatively, often that is the case, that, you know, from adversity comes this wonderful piece that is
just
reflective of the time.
Yes.
And the stuff going on.
Yes.
And
I think the arguments and that add to the creativity of it, don't they? You know,
there's kind of a sparkle,
attitude, the whole thing's going on. Yeah,
it sounds real. It sounds plausible. It's not, you know, it's not just sort of fabricated on the back of a fag packet because it sounds all right. You know, there's actually real meaning behind the words and behind the melody.
Yeah.
Did you ever write anything on the back of a fag packet? Did you?
No.
I used to smoke, but I never wrote anything on the back of fag.
It was never a good service. It was a shot. It was
And you never got a pen.
No.
I mean, I've written a few things on beer mats, back of beer mats before.
Yeah, that's another. Yeah, that's another kind of stationary must, isn't it? A beer mat.
Beer mat.
You know, could I have a set of A5 beer mats, please? You know,
with no
ring
mention of the beer at all.
Because I want to write on the buggers.
Yeah.
We got some busting cake again.
I'm looking.
Fruitcake, I think, is the first star on.
That looks like my wife's fruitcake there.
It definitely is.
Yeah.
Laden with currants.
Yeah. Oh. Yes, and these cubes are fascinating me.
That's Stollen.
That's it. That's
right, what it
is. Is that German?
Yeah. Yes. Staple of Christmas, Stollen.
If you're on the Russian front, in a panzer tank.
It's likely to be inhaled if somebody doesn't eat it, because it's in front of me.
To be fair, if you go in a cake shop and just take something without paying and go, anything you do, that's Stollen.
Ah, mum!
You know.
It's the way you tell them.
Shall I get me coat now?
Yeah.
Hello, the first bit of Stollen's gone.
Life.
You're a big fan, ain't you, Sue? Big fan.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have a go. Mm.
I'm gonna wait for the old fruitcake, Miss N.
Mm. You don't need a lot of it though, this Stollen.
No, it's quite it's heavy, isn't it?
And not for people who haven't got a sweet tooth. But it's just for me, it's one of the things you don't see Stollen. At any other time of the year, it's just you only see it at this time of year. It gets wheeled out by all the German supermarkets and
that sort of thing. It's denser than I expected.
Mm-mm.
It's good, I like it.
Do you know, I've got friends like that. Very denser than what you expect. One of them's called Charlie, actually.
Is he?
Yeah.
Always having stolen goods.
Oh, God. Charlie, guess about
it. Oh, crikey.
Is it moist?
It's moist.
That's stolen, is it?
It's moist.
Just about right moist.
It's very good. Yeah.
Wonderful.
I like it very much.
but I am eyeing up the fruitcake. You can cut it.
Shall I?
Yes.
It's madness,
you can have the
honest. Because when we actually do these shows, you do feel the weight going on.
Yes.
I really do. It's concerning.
Yes.
That's what January's for. Don't worry about
eating what's left or
losing what you bomb. And actually, traditionally, all joking apart, in December, particularly around the time of the winter solstice, the 25th, people would feast on what they've got left and have a really, you know, really good time.
Oh, right.
Because they knew the lean months were coming.
Ah.
You know, January and February were not good months.
Is that just in Lincolnshire or is that national?
I wouldn't know. Oh.
Wonderful.
Look at that. Very nice. Thank you.
What a perfect way of serving it there,
was it? Quite dexterous, wasn't it?
Eh?
Yeah.
He's very skilled, isn't he? Very perfect at this serving routine. Here we go again. Look at that. Top job. Thank you, Mike.
Cheers, Doug.
Now, my granny used to serve fruitcake like this with butter and cheese.
Yes.
We used to do the butter. Mm. Yeah.
Almost
spread.
Like this
was a loaf.
Yes, yeah. Really.
Yeah, we used to do not the cheese, but we did the butter.
Yeah.
And it was that nice sort of spiciness in the fruitcake that just, it was almost like a chutney would have the spice in it.
Yeah.
Similarly. Good eating.
You know, you never tire of that track, do you?
No, it's wonderful.
You never, ever tire of it at all.
Or cake, really.
Or cake?
No.
Here's an oldie. I haven't heard this for a long time. One of your... Liz might.
I don't really know anything about this band other than they were called War.
I know a handful of tracks. Why Can't We Be Friends was another one. This one. For a little while, Eric Burden was in, not in this era, but Eric Burden had an association.
Did he really?
Yeah. But this, I don't know. I think this came out in about 75. And it was in a Cheech and Chong movie, and that's about all I know about it.
Right.
It's just an irresistible groove.
Yeah, it is.
That little bass riff, it just goes
great,
through the song.
Great,
three and a half minutes.
Simple, but perfection. Yes.
Yes.
Mm. You know, I think sometimes it's a myth that clever. You know, music has to be clever when there's lots of layers to it, and it's all very twiddly and. It doesn't. Some of the greatest tunes are just simple, but really effective.
Yes.
They just do their thing.
Earthy, meaty.
Yeah. They just do their thing. And this is one of these.
Mm. And then it popped up on a Marmite advert, which I thought was a bit of a shame.
Yeah, ruined it.
Yeah.
But I can imagine.
That's a recent, is it?
Mm. Yeah,
I think it is, yeah?
The Marmite.
Yeah.
I can imagine people just rocking, you know, in a pub one day, just thinking, you know, they're just jamming them doing this, you know, just impromptu. Oh, let's have a, you know, off you go.
Yeah.
Good track. I haven't heard it for a long time.
No. Music on adverts is quite, I suppose in many ways, can be quite controversial because on the one side, it's great that adverts and movies and things actually sometimes bring back songs that have maybe got lost in the ether somewhere and bring them back to a whole new audience. On the other hand, it can slightly ruin, ruin the tune because then you always... associate it with the product rather than it actually being the tune that it was.
I always like tracks that have got a little bit of additional percussion.
Yeah. And busy.
A few years ago, I was with the Rubettes. We were in Austria. It was the night before we were doing a big festival in a town square where tens of thousands of people crammed
into
this town square. It was a really big one. And on the bill, the the same night as us, the following night, was going to be Eric Burden.
Yeah.
And he had quite a big band with him and brass players and this and the other. Anyway, this geezer's turned up in the bar, paralytic, American bloke. And he wants to know about the Rubettes and who's in the Rubettes. Yeah, I'm in the Rubettes. He's in the Rubettes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he's having a chat with the Rubettes. We just think he's this drunk nuisance. Hi, I'm Wally. Yeah, okay, yeah. I've just flown in from Los Angeles.
So
I'm here for the festival. So I think, oh, okay, you're here for the festival. There's 50,000 of you that are here for the festival, mate, you know. So he's pestering us all night with stories about, hey, so tell me about you guys, your music, and rabbit in the behinds office. Anyway, off he goes, eventually to bed, staggers off to bed. He's in a terrible state. It turns out the next night, when we've finished our set and we're just standing in the wings, he's Eric Burden's percussionist, and he's absolutely fucking spotless.
Really?
It was brilliant. I'm sure everyone was just looking at him. There was a full-blown drummer and a full band, but this bloke had a little, had all these things hanging up, and he was just permanently doing that. Who was that guy? Ray Cooper. He was doing that thing, and he was just brilliant, and it was just, you couldn't take your eyes off of him. And we were going, Christ, that's Wally.
It's that bit of extra that just lifts it, just a tune out from being good to being, oh my goodness.
It really did exactly that. Yeah. It was absolutely magnificent.
Cool.
When I hear things like that, I always think of Wally.
Wally.
All those little added little...
It's always the ones you never think is going to be the... Yeah.
Where's Wally?
He's one of Sue's.
I love this tune.
Mm.
It's a great cheeky little number. Cheeky being the operative word. There's nothing wrong with that. I just think the matching of Keris Matthews and Tom Jones is just perfect. It's just perfect. It's like strawberries and cream. Brilliant.
Yes, I think that did occur as well, didn't it?
I
think so, yeah.
My understanding of it is that did occur.
Yeah. Friendships grew.
Yes.
Oh.
I think...
Mutual appreciation.
I believe there
was. Oh, yeah.
Mm. I spent a bit of time with this lady.
Oh, yeah?
Cambridge Folk Fest.
Ah.
Dear, I don't know when it was. And do you know, she got it all so wrong, it was untrue.
Oh, really?
She tipped up with a band. I was doing some stuff for...
Was it when she was with a band called Catatonia?
No, that was the band that she was originally in.
Right.
I think a fan, a member of that.
Yes.
Mm. But she tipped up and she forgot lyrics, she forgot everything.
Oh, no.
She didn't know where she was. The set list was all over the place.
Oh, blimey.
Oh,
it was really...
Not a good day.
No, you know, it was one of those things where... Oh, dear, really. You know, you really don't want this. And she clearly didn't, but, you know.
Wondering whether your mind is elsewhere somewhat.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
I was trying to remember who did the original.
Wow. Oh.
I can't think of it
either. That was a proper Hollywood kind of...
Well, I would say it's Marilyn Monroe, I would think.
It was certainly in that slot. I can mention, no, not sure if it's right to mention Marilyn Monroe's slot particularly, but
yeah, you can do. She don't listen in.
Are you all right there?
That's sorry. Made a cough.
Sorry about the Harvey Weinstein moment there. Anyway, where were we? Oh, Marilyn Monroe.
Marilyn Monroe.
Good God.
I don't know, Dean Martin.
Yes.
It could be Dean.
Yes.
A bit of Dean.
That's probably a good call.
Word.
For both of those.
Tony Bennett.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm going more with Dean Martin. I think Tony Bennett liked to keep that a little bit. I'm a jazzy balladeer. Dean Martin was up for Marilyn Monroe.
Great.
Yeah.
Show. I love Dean Martin. Funny man.
Yes.
Seriously funny man.
Yeah, that's probably right. Dean Martin and Marilyn Monroe, I can well believe that.
I mean, I can't say that I've heard it, but I probably should have researched it a little bit more when I knew it was on the list. But it's got that Marilyn Monroe feel with me.
Yes.
But I'm not too sure who the male voice would be.
No.
But it could be Dean easily.
Yes.
Or Frank.
I think if it was Frank, we'd know it was Frank. Because... Mm.
Great stuff. Wonderful.
Hang on, actually.
Oh,
I love that bit.
Put your knickers back on.
That must have come with you, because it's cold outside, isn't it?
Stop it now, isn't it? Great song.
I got reintroduced to this a few weeks ago, this album. I bought it for my dad. On vinyl. I don't know what year it would be. It's early 70s.
Well, if the Beatles stopped in 70 and Band on the Run was 73 or 4, it's in between that, isn't it?
It was to my knowledge, the one album he did before he got involved with...
Is this Ram or McCartney?
It's Ram.
Ram. Yeah, I've got a feeling it's 71 then.
Builders, Paul McCartney and Linda McCartney. That's how they build it, you know. But it's a wonderful, wonderful album.
Oh, that's who the album's credited to?
Yeah.
Paul McCartney and Linda McCartney? Oh, is it?
Yeah. Well, certainly on the version that is now the MP3.
Mm. Yeah. I'd like to have a look at Ram again then, because this is fabulous.
Oh, it's a brilliant album.
At somewhere, I don't know where, in about 1980, I don't mean to be rude, but he started writing things that I couldn't care less about.
I totally agree, yeah.
And
2 minute pop songs and all this shit, yeah, back to...
But there was that fabulous tranche...
In between, yeah.
...catalogue that was just...
Well, this whole thing is like, it just reminds me of a kind of, well, believe it or not, Essex type of, you know, seaside holidays and that kind of thing. You know, Margate and all that kind of feel. And I do know that in the Fools and Horses special that they did...
What, down to Margate?
That's it, Jolly Boy's outing. Yeah. They feature this...
Oh, right.
...when they lose their Uncle Albert.
Oh, OK. Oh. Right, that is a trip down to Margate, isn't it? Down the M2
it
or
is,
whatever.
Yeah. Which, don't think's too... I'm not too sure where Margate is. It's Essex, is
no,
it?
It's
Essex
Kent, actually. But
is
yeah,
it?
But
OK, it's up the Kermit.
Yeah.
Walk up the sand.
It's the Kent equivalent of Southend, if you like. Yeah.
I don't think I've ever been to Margate. Am I missing much?
No.
Okay, no. Moving swiftly along.
I find quite a lot of seaside, I suppose coming from a seaside town, which I almost do, Southend, it's only 15 minutes away.
Hmm.
I don't know, I find something a little bit miserable about the seafront.
Do you hear that, winter?
Isn't it? Yeah. That is fabulous. Yeah, I find it a bit miserable in the winter because it's winter and it's so bleak. And in the summer, you can't park anywhere because it's full of people.
Yeah, so it's
a lose-lose for me.
12 months of misery.
Yeah.
But the album is absolutely brilliant. Only he could get away with some of the stuff on it.
Really?
You know, it's... You think, yeah, that's definitely McCartney.
Yes.
Only he could think of putting that little bit in there or, you know, an overdub or dropping that instrument in, you know.
Well, I think, you know, come 1970-ish, I mean, Paul McCartney was absolutely at the top of his game, I think.
Totally agree. Yeah.
What a fabulous songsmith.
I tell you what, it's nearly as good as your wife's cake.
It's getting that way, isn't it?
Dear, oh dear.
I might
murderous
have a slice.
Murderous?
Yeah.
We've seen a fair bit of half an hour,
haven't
we?
Yes, we've had a go, haven't we?
Yeah. I'm pacing myself here on this one, a little. Was never too sure what Linda McCartney brought to the table, but...
No.
Nor was he, I think.
I think tofu sausages, as far as I can remember.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably she did, yeah. Catering.
Yeah. And she had a nice camera.
She did?
Yeah. That's a lovely little theme, isn't it? Keeps popping back up.
Did she used to play an instrument?
In theory,
keyboard.
She was a keyboard player.
Right.
We're back on these urban myths and things, but I've got a memory somewhere, and I was reminded of it again the other day by somebody of a sound engineer that isolated at a live gig.
Yeah.
What she.
Yeah, I remember that story.
And it ain't very good, it's not at all good.
I think it was one of these kind of things where you think, give the wife something to do to stop her bleating. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
Ouch!
That's what I think he did.
You
well,
know.
Yes, I agree. With a heavy heart, I have to agree with that.
Indeed.
Yes.
Because nobody ever really knew what she was about, did they? You
no.
know, it was just really weird.
No.
No. But
no.
It's funny that it always seemed to me that whatever she was in with him, she was always the, you know, there was, he always overshadowed far much. She sort of always seemed to be death of the ride.
Yes, even the Kodak heiress, he outshadowed the Kodak heiress. That's what she was. She was Linda Eastman.
No.
As in Eastman Colour.
No, she weren't.
Oh, wasn't she?
No, she weren't. That's a myth.
Oh.
No, she had no relation to, as in Kodak Eastman, at all.
Really?
No. No, I'm sure I'm right in saying that.
Oh, well, fair enough.
There you are. Learn yeah. something new.
She wasn't Bob Holness's daughter, was she?
I don't, but she did have a pee.
Oh, do you know, well, I think a lot of people believe that.
Yeah, it's. I read that somewhere because it was always the case, you know, Eastman, the
New
Kodak,
York, Eastman.
Kodak American Company, you know, colour film, black and white film, blah, blah,
well,
blah.
Well, I'm deflated. I'm going to have another piece of cake.
And she was a photographer.
Right, yes.
Of some repute,
yes.
I've got to say. Time and, you know, Time Out, that kind of stuff, blah, 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 Time Magazine. But no, it's a widely thought fact that she was related to the family, but I don't think she was.
Oh.
See, I'd never heard that one, but then bear in mind, I was only a twinkle at that point. So, I'm 77 vintage me, so.
Right.
I'm only a twinkle.
Well, right. By 77, they'd released Wings Over America, which I think was a triple live album.
Bloody hell.
Wow.
Of a US tour of about 1975 or 6. It had stuff from Band on the Run on it, and that was 74-ish, so it was after then.
Right.
It was a huge thing. There's a documentary probably somewhere on YouTube where...
Yeah,
tracks,
I've seen that.
You know, it was a real...
It
was probably
tours.
The biggest tour of tours then.
Yeah.
I
don't know, probably since then Pink Floyd or whoever has busted it, but this was a big deal. And that was a triple album, I think.
Because I know in the early days of Wings, he just piled everything into a tranny, didn't he? And they used to tip up at universities and stuff like that, just out the blue.
Yeah?
Yes.
And send a guy in, didn't they? Say, well, there's a band outside, you know, just wondered whether we could play, you know, come in for an hour and...
Wow.
Well, who is this band, you know? It's Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
Not me.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Amazing, that, isn't it?
Because I think they did that Leicester University.
Oh, yeah, De Montfort.
De Montfort. Yeah.
Yum.
And a friend of mine who I knew, he was there on the night when this scratch band are coming. Somebody's just going to play and make a bit of a noise. It turns out to be Wings.
Wow.
Because he did that, didn't he, right at the very early stages of Wings to see how it was going to go. And also he wanted to go back to this... to the roots of touring in a tranny when it was done properly.
Well, I suppose he'd lost out on a lot of golden years of performing because 1966, that was it for the Beatles, in live terms.
Yeah,
didn't last
Chase
that
Stadium
long, did
or
it, really?
Candlestick Park or somewhere, that was it, Bosch. 1966, I mean, those years that were lost, he probably couldn't wait to get back out. I don't care if it's for nothing, I've got £10 million in the bank.
Well,
let's go and have some fun.
Yeah.
With the wife. Don't play that, though.
I'll buy you a new keyboard if you shut up.
Yeah. Paul, I think they keep taking me out of the mix. No, darling, they're not. They're not. It's deafening me. Turn it down a bit, love.
But I'm pleased I'm not married to you two. Wow. You're unforgiving, aren't you?
So I'm going to shut up, so I've got
a mouthful of cake. Oh, no, you should
shut up. You what?
Do you want some help eating that cake?
Come on. If we're talking about 1974, we've got to have 1974 values.
I think you have. Well, I think my values have never moved, really. I don't grow with the times. That's nonsense, isn't it? You know. 1974, you knew where you were.
Of course you did.
Didn't you? You knew where you were. You know, you give somebody some lip, he kick your face in.
Yeah.
You know, or you kicked his face in, you know, whatever.
He said, fair enough, he's a policeman after all.
That's it, yeah.
I'm
I thought you were supposed to just give me a clip round the ear.
Well, you did nick his fucking bike, didn't you? You know what I mean?
I'm with you. What you got now, big boy?
Well, I got a really special one here, which is very fitting considering what kind of time of year this is.
Wow. This is a great song.
This is a blast from the real past.
It really
is. I know
it's
got a deep meaning to you and me.
It really has. It's 1972.
Status Quo.
Yeah.
From the best album, in my opinion, they did, which was Pile Driver by A Long Way.
I second that. Yeah, it really was.
And this track's called A Year.
A Year.
Ah. Mm. Don't look over
it's a very
one.
Unlikely.
It is for Status Quo, isn't it? It's a very strange composition altogether.
I haven't ever heard this tune.
Right.
They always had a very distinct sound. Crow tunes are unmistakable.
Yes. I mean, even though that's extremely off-piece for them, you still know it's them.
Yeah, you still know it's them.
Is it a track I always find you slip into and you listen, comes to the end before you realise that you've done nothing but listen to it?
Yes. I tell you what we should have had today.
What was that?
A bit of panettone would have been nice.
A bit of panettone?
A bit of Italian cake.
Oh!
You got some Italian listeners?
I have got quite a lot of Italian friends and listeners.
You got Raffi?
Yeah. I said Raffi.
There's quite a few Italians and American Italians as well.
Andrea?
Let's not forget you.
They're two that I'm aware of. But I know you've got a lot from over there. We should have had a bit of panettone.
We could have done.
Yeah.
We could have done. I'm not adverse to a bit of the old Italian food.
No,
not at all.
Love it.
The Italians know how to eat.
Yes, they
eat,
do.
Eat, dress and argue.
Yes.
They do those things really well.
Yes.
One of my dearest friends is an Italian. And I love the Italians.
Yeah.
Grew up with a lot of Italians, I did.
Wow.
Peterborough is full of them.
Really?
I
never knew that.
Mm. Come for the Brickyards.
Right.
After the war. That's what brought them here. So you've got a massive Italian community in Peterborough, in Fletton, Woodston.
Yes, I was
going to
say
area.
Fletton and that, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, look, Bedford has also got a huge Italian community.
Oh.
Again, because of the Brickyards.
Right.
That's what they all came for after the war.
Yeah.
And most, well, I say most, I would say 20% of the lads, people, children I went to school with were Italian or associated with that kind of upbringing. You know, so I used to spend a lot of time with Italians and my friends were Italian. So you'd eat with them and all this, you know, proper.
But that was amazing. Because it's real. You know, their food culture is serious.
Well, these guys used to make their own wine. Certainly in Stangrey, in the Peterborough where I lived and grew up. And they'd have all these grapes shipped over every year.
Wow! Oh,
you know, they didn't mess about with any of this monkey shit. No, they had all their own stuff shipped over from the family, you know, from the firm or whatever it was. And they'd literally tread the grapes in our houses in the gardens and all this kind of stuff. And then they'd make bottles of wine and, you know, these guys would drink 6 or 7 bottles of wine at one meal, at one tea. What was tea for us?
But then
communal food.
Those sessions would probably last 2 hours.
It
wasn't a quick.
Yeah,
you know,
weren't throw it down, you know.
Half hour turnaround, it was, you know.
And everybody was there, all children was there, all family members, you ate, that was it. And if you was invited as a guest,
Yeah, the effort that you that went into making the food and the time it took to make the food was then respectfully reciprocated in the eating of the food. That was the whole point of it, was that, you know, you enjoyed the food, you enjoyed the company, you actually, you know, they were memory making. Very similar thing. See, I make homemade wine, but not with grapes. Don't do grapes.
Elderberries?
Yeah. Blackberries. Mm-hmm.
Blackberry wine?
Yeah. It's a bit more difficult to clear, but yeah, I got to making that because my lovely husband used to make homemade cider. And at the time, I didn't drink cider. I half a pint of cider, my head was in the ceiling. Pint of cider, my feet are on the floor. 3/4 of an hour later, it was all over. So at that time, I didn't drink cider. And I said, well, yeah, what am I drinking then? So we got to thinking about the stuff that we could brew. And there have been some things that have been massively successful. And there have been other things that we've gone on and making that again. Real disastrous, proper disastrous. In homemade wine, lovely. If you make it right, it can be really good. But if you get it wrong, it's shockingly bad.
Yeah.
You know, drain cleaner job.
On the Pile Driver album, I love... it's a great song as well. I love when a year finishes and then it goes into unspoken words.
Yeah.
Mm. It's a lovely... That sequence of songs that they lined up was great.
Mm. It was. The album was... truly wonderful.
Yeah,
I still listen to it and I get so much from it every time.
Yeah, I mean, totally, yeah.
I think I've got unspoken word on this playlist. Mm. Yeah. This didn't mean anything to me either.
Oh, okay. Mid-80s, I think, this. Los Lobos.
Mm. I knew the band, obviously.
Yeah. The album's called How Will the Wolf Survive? The title track you've liked is Will the Wolf Survive?
Yep.
That's it. It's kind of, I don't know, this one always reminds me of, I don't know, Tex-Mex Eagles, I suppose, or something.
Yeah, it's got an eagle feel.
Yeah.
And that.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But played by a load of chunky Tex-Mex lads. Yeah. I mean, they're quite a fearsome looking lot at the time as well, you know. I really like this band. If you listen to the albums, there's a lot of kind of 50s derived baritone sax playing and stuff like that. It's quite a diverse set of ingredients that go into it, and a lot of instrument changing, swapping traditional instruments, mariachi inspired music. I really like it, but you know, you got to like.
What was this single?
They played on the soundtrack of what was the film that was about? The La Bamba man that died in the Buddy Holly plane.
Yeah.
Richie Valens.
That's it, Richie Valens.
La Bamba. Yeah, 1987.
Yeah.
And it was a kind of quite a faithful version of it, really. It captured that, I don't know, 1958 flavour of Python. They still keep making albums, but I feel as though they're becoming a bit more niche as time goes on. I think this was it for them. In mainstream terms, commercial terms. Mm. I think they're kind of less mainstream than ever now.
When was this?
This is probably 85-ish, right. Give or take a year.
Yeah. That cake is serious.
Yes, yeah, good cake, isn't it? Well done, Sue. Yeah.
Wonderful.
We love you, Suzanne.
So what's your new year going to consist of?
Getting over Christmas and New Year. Okay.
That takes us to March.
We always have a couple of weeks of getting over it, and then it would be just be, right, okay, let's get the diary out, let's work out what we're doing.
Do you do much New Year?
No.
No?
No, because there's just so much going on. For some strange reason, my family all decided to have kids in December. So, consequently, we've got birthdays, Christmas,
right.
The whole kink caboodle from about mid-November right the way through to New Year. So, it's a manic time of the year all round for us. So, we get to January and we do absolutely nothing.
Yeah,
you know, it's just, that's your time to just go, ha!
Yeah.
spend some time
just
in and
mooch. Yeah,
good idea.
You know, mooch for a couple of weeks, and then I suppose really you sort of have to pick yourself up and go, well, that was nice, but I suppose we better do something, hadn't we? So
yes.
You know, you get your diary out and start organising, and before you know it, you're back to November again, and
another year
there
over.
It goes.
Yeah,
wonderful. You get older.
It's a terrible old cliche, but the older we get, it does go quicker, I'm sure.
Don't know what it is, man.
This year's gone quick.
It really has.
This year's gone quick.
Yeah, 2017's been an odd time, isn't it? It's odd worldwide, though, isn't it? The whole place is this.
The place has gone mad.
It's going, something's going to kick off somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's old Kim
Jong-un
or whatever.
Kim Rong-un.
That's it.
Kim Rong-un.
Or that other
one. I'm not so much concerned about him.
I don't know
what the other one does.
Yeah. Well, there's a pair of wrong ones there, for sure. Yeah.
Well, we need somebody to look out for us, though, I think.
It's a bit like kiddies in the playground. You know, my dick's bigger than your dick.
Is it? Tell me more. What about you, Mike? You're gigging, I think, aren't you?
Yeah, I've got the Shadows tribute thing to do again this year, hopefully.
Right.
I don't think that starts till March, though.
Okay.
So, systems go with that.
Any new stuff that you're working on?
There's a couple of other bits that I'm going to do as well, but they're all kind of pretty much in their infancy at the minute.
Right. What do you fancy doing? Going back to pole dancing or something like that?
I don't like Poland that much.
No?
No.
Really? They seem to take to it over here quite easily.
Yes, they do. Yeah, well, there you go. They've had their own little Brexit, haven't they? Bless them.
Indeed.
Yeah.
So you're not actually performing New Year's Eve?
I've got a gig New Year's Eve. Yeah, I'm up north New Year's Eve, but... Yeah, I think I'm going to have a quiet January because the pantos are still out for a lot of it.
Yep.
So it's pretty much every year January's quiet for me. Or the answer is go and do something in a panto, but I don't fancy that.
Bit of buttons? No?
No, I mean like in the pit band.
Oh, I see.
No, not on stage, even I got that one.
I could see him as buttons, couldn't you? Hey, some geezer running around in a little bellboy's outfit.
I worry about your imagination sometimes.
Buttons.
Oh. Or a bit of Aladdin, rubbing
chocolate
shit.
Buttons,
you know what I mean?
Chocolate buttons, I'll have a go at.
Dear, oh dear.
But no, it does tend to get quiet, you know, get quiet in January for a little before people start picking up again.
Yes,
and,
I think in so many walks of life, January is this kind of like month of fallow.
Yes.
Isn't it?
You just have to take stock a bit, a quiet chill. Not to mention the fact that sometimes, you know, particularly with a lot of people, Christmas, New Year, no money, you know, stay home, watch Netflix.
Well, I think it's good to actually, I mean, certainly I spend, you know, we tend to spend a lot of our time planning what I'm going to do next year and putting the whole thing together. I'm quite in favour of spending January in the warm, really.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Putting these things into practice and starting to kick stuff off.
When you're so busy as well for the rest of the year, that's the one month that actually, if you don't have to go anywhere, you don't.
Yes, totally.
You know, that's your time just to chill and mooch out a bit.
Yes, definitely.
Before February starts rocking up and things, you know, plans begin to kick in and off you go again.
Yeah.
We're going to play a very topical tune.
Oh!
From your list, Sue.
I know, you're not an ABBA fan, are you?
I didn't. I couldn't stand the bloody band.
Oh, really?
Couldn't stand them.
Whereas I cut my teeth with ABBA.
Well, I've got to say, I'm sorry to say, I'm a secret closet.
Are you really?
Oh.
Yeah, I really am.
Do you know? I know many musos that ABBA fans.
I think it's been magical.
Well, I mean, nobody made pop songs like these people did, did they? But I couldn't stand them.
Mm.
But I did remember this when I was sifting through your list and you'd sent the stuff over.
Yeah.
And I thought, yeah, bloody hell.
Yeah. See, this reminds me of my grandma, because my grandma was the one that introduced me to ABBA.
Oh, I see.
She had a silver Vauxhall Cavalier, and she always used to put the cassette in the car, and we'd always sing to Waterloo and things like this. But this one, This one was on vinyl.
Right.
And if we were ever so lucky, she would let us drop the needle onto the disc. And so we would listen to this at Christmas and twirl around on the carpet.
Oh, don't, I'm welling up here, Sue. Stop it.
So am I.
Oh, no, really.
Yeah, marvellous time.
Oh. Yeah.
You know, particularly because my grandma now is here, but she's not here. Her mind is somewhere else in some happy place. So this reminds me of my grandma. But it's such, I mean, it's a tune that, if you like ABBA, it never dates.
No.
This one always comes out at New Year.
Super.
Always does.
And I think, considering it's only a few days away from New Year's Eve, you know, or hours away, should I say.
Yes, well, really, yeah. No, I've always been a sucker for ABBA.
Really?
Yeah.
I know the lyrics can occasionally be a bit sickly and a bit twee, but I just love it.
For Swedes, I'm sorry, I don't mean for Swedes as though they're an inferior race, but sorry, for people singing, writing and performing in a second language. It's an amazing achievement.
Yes, yeah.
And that's always overlooked.
Yeah.
But it's an amazing achievement. Mm.
For me, it's their melodies.
Yeah, that is overlooked.
You know,
yes.
The fact that it's amazing.
Yeah.
Astonishing.
And their melodies, their harmonies. You know, genius.
Yes.
Genius.
Yeah. I'm completely with you. That Arrival album, I mean, I still put it on now, and you know, in the age of the CD, it's been so easy to go, skip that one.
Yeah.
It's one of those
albums. Never skipped any of these.
Put it on and just leave. Put it on again.
So this is from what album?
This is a later one.
I think this is from Super Trooper.
Oh, is it? Yeah.
I think. I was only Diddy at the time, so
yeah. I think it's either The Visitors or Super Trooper. Yeah, it's a comparatively later one, late 70s.
Right,
yeah, it would be.
Is this when they're, you know, kind of looking around, or are they still married and together?
I think at this point they've gone beyond the peak and they're now.
I think they were thinking that maybe it might not be a great idea anymore.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
I think, but they were still good.
Yes.
Yeah, they were still good. But I think maybe behind the scenes they were starting to think, you know, I'm getting a bit bored of this.
Arguing over the Volga and gets the car.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm not really that keen on you anymore.
Yes. Yeah. A contractual obligation album. Perhaps. No,
creative
I don't know.
Creative differences.
Yeah. I remember being, you know, 14 or something, Eurovision was on, and it was in Brighton. It means that we must have won it the year before.
Very rare.
So if it was the 70, I'm going to guess it was the 74 Eurovision. So we must have won it in 73. I don't know what we've. And on they came, and the two women. You know, everyone was just wow. This is brilliant.
Yeah, yeah.
I think as soon as the song was halfway through, everyone was just thinking, "There's your winner."
Yeah.
This predates all this.
So that's Waterloo, is it? We're talking about.
Yes.
All the political voting.
This predates all that, where all the Balkans have to vote with the Balkans, and, you know, the French won't vote for us.
It was when it was all about the music and not about the countries.
Yes, it really was.
Yes.
Yeah. And I just remember thinking, Christ, this is... You
it's
know,
a good track. Brilliant.
It is a good track.
Thank you for that.
That's all right.
At least I didn't ask you for any Barlow.
No, you didn't, actually. No, you didn't. You kept it quite clean, didn't you? We didn't go into that dark place.
No, but then that's because he's not really... I don't know. They've done party tunes, but not of the calibre that I feel would be appropriate. Not for here, anyway. Oh.
You would have got it played. Do you know that? You would have got it played.
I know, but, you know, you've got to think of your audience. No. Not the right audience.
Well, anointing is all about the people in the room.
Yeah.
Hopefully it'll kind of, you know, relight fires or memories and brings back things, you know, to people who listen to the show. That's the idea of it.
Yeah.
To give it the same kind of, you know, vibe and emotion that I get from it.
Hmm. So what's this tune then, Nick?
This is David Bowie, would you believe?
Oh. Not heard this one before.
No, I'd only heard bits of this version. It's John Arne dancing.
In this, I don't know, what do you call this? Ravey kind of.
It's more of his disco period,
yeah.
Weren't
disco
it?
Period. Mm.
Which was definitely an iffy period for me.
Yes.
I think he only, this guy, people may argue with this, but for me, the very early 70s, that was his time.
Yes, it really was.
Ziggy and, you know...
69 to 74.
Yeah. Mm. That was it for me. Anything else outside that? But I've been working a lot over the last 3 years with a legendary guitarist called Earl Slick.
Oh, yeah, of course. Mm.
That was Bowie's guitarist.
Yes, yeah.
And, you know, it's a few months now since I've done anything with Earl. Mm. But, you know, it's kind of, because of that connection, when you speak to Earl about Bowie and what it's like to work with Bowie and the rest of it, you know, you then kind of think, oh, yeah, you know, that bit. And I was never really a fan.
No.
Bowie, I could give him a swerve, even in his good years. I bought one album, which was Ziggy. That was all I bought. But, you know, Queen Bitch and stuff like that, second to none.
Yes.
You know, even Dudes and all the stuff, you know, Pretty Things, wonderful, wonderful stuff.
Yes.
But I was never a fan.
No, I wasn't. In fact, you were saying earlier, or previously, when we were all together, about compilation albums and...
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, that's my idea of that era. I bought the Bowie 69 to 74.
Yeah. I think that's what this comes
and
from.
And it's all in there.
Yeah.
And you think, do you know, I don't need to go beyond this.
No.
I don't need to go to Young Americans. Or,
no, I couldn't be doing with that.
Losing it now, mate.
I couldn't be doing with that. No.
I could have probably just salvaged Ashes to Ashes from 1980 and put it in there, but other than that, I don't have to go looking.
No, I agree.
And I hate to say it, I know they all made such a fuss when he died. What was the name of the posthumous album?
Oh,
Black
yes,
Star?
Yes.
Black Star. I've given it a go.
Are you really? I haven't even given it a go, apart from the title track,
yeah,
I think.
And I'm not getting it, I'm sorry. And I want to get it, because I think, you were a giant and a ring, and I need to get this, because I should, but I don't get it.
No.
And I've tried to get it, and I don't get it.
No, like I say, I mean, Suffragette City.
Yes.
You know, Ziggy, obviously, Starman, the legendary stuff, you know,
yes.
But outside that, I'm not that bothered.
Interesting, though, this reworking of, a lot, you know.
Yeah, I like I say, I was looking through, I thought, well, I want to put something of it a little bit different in. I don't want to put a load of maudlin bollocks, you know, because it's end of one year into another fucking year and all this, you know. So I thought, hang on a minute, this
says... be positive.
Yeah. Let's have some 70s porn here. Yes.
In the... yeah.
Well, he's got the moustache for it, I'll give him that.
Who, Bowie? You never had a moustache.
No, you.
Hey! Do you know, the amount of times she's told me I was a porn star.
Really?
You wouldn't believe it.
It's all lies. It's all lies. I never have.
I feel as though I've interrupted something now.
No.
Have I called it a bad time?
It's a dangerous place. As soon as she lights the match, you see, I'll fan it. You're a tinker, you are, Susan.
No, he sits there twiddling his mustache like V for Vendetta.
Like who?
V for Vendetta. This is a film, V for Vendetta, with the mask and the... Yeah.
No.
Well, you'll have to watch that, V for Vendetta.
I think your weekends in turned more fun than I originally thought.
Well, my weekends are always more fun than you anticipate. That's just me, that is.
Well, did she get hit by a man on a ladder this weekend?
I did. Yeah.
Well, you would do that, wouldn't you? You would. Standing at the bottom of ladders, you know.
Bizarre sex game gone tragically
no,
wrong.
No, 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 no.
That's all
yeah.
I'm saying.
Three steps to heaven and all that.
No. Ladders and hand saws and all that. No, no, no.
Really? Magic tricks again?
No. I keep expecting a glitter ball to drop from the ceiling.
Yeah, well, this was his disco period, weren't it? I wouldn't even know what the album this come from or anything, but or whether it was just a rework of the original, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I know that Santa Claus didn't bring you your pole for Christmas.
No, he didn't.
Oh, well.
No, he didn't.
Your little dancing pole in the corner.
No, but have you seen the price of baby oil? Through the roof.
No.
And the chapping, unless you use plenty. is just cosmic.
Oh, well, no, I'm not really built for dancing around
like
poles.
Like two bits of flint rubbing together when you walk. Click, 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 spark, spark. Here's my contribution to the new year. Talking about As We Were AC/DC in the Christmas show.
You do like a bit of AC/DC, don't you?
I do. But this is the title track for the album Stiff Upper Lip, which is the tour I saw
tour
on.
You went. Yeah.
Which is
99.
20 years ago?
Right,
yeah.
I think this is AC/DC at their very best.
Yeah, well, I think by this time it was such a well-oiled...
Yeah.
I don't mean this to put it down. It was such a well-oiled formula that, I mean, that's... I'm sorry, but the Stones have never captured that...
No.
For all their rocking songs.
No.
It's never sounded like that.
No,
that's,
I agree.
That's excellence there. It's not badly recorded. It's not... fumbly played. It's absolutely executed.
I think Rick Rubin, did he produce this?
I don't know. Was it Rick Rubin? But that's
or
that's perfect.
Lane, one of the two.
That's perfect. But we were talking about the Cult earlier.
Yeah.
You know, the Cult at their best as well come up to this for me.
Oh, I agree. I agree. I think the best track on the album, but there are some good tracks on the album, but wonderful.
So what happens to them now? I mean, obviously, Mountain just died recently, but I think he was out of the band anyway, wasn't he? Was there
he hadn't been well
yeah.
for a while.
I understood it was an Alzheimer.
It was, yeah. Mental kind of things going on.
So he was kind of out of the band anyway.
Yeah, they brought in, if I'm not mistaken, did they bring in another family member?
Yes, I got that. Was it something? Yeah, I think it might have been somebody's grown-up son.
I can't remember who it was. I did know, but I can't remember.
So on the assumption that whoever that is, niece, sorry, nephew, son, whatever,
yeah.
cousin, takes over, what's the Brian Johnston position?
To my knowledge, there isn't one.
He's gone as well.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's pretty much the case.
Was he gone because of his voice or his hearing? Or
well, what, or they I think they went out on the PR front under the hearing thing.
Right.
But I'm not totally convinced of that.
Oh.
To be
something
honest.
Something more private going on?
I don't know. I mean, he now does a lot of car programmes, don't
yeah.
he? On the Digi channels. Because he's got a massive collection of
right.
supercars, and he's big ties. He's a fully blown, self-confessed petrol head of the highest order. And I've seen him do a couple of shows over the kind of last 12 months that were brand new shows that he'd done, you know. So I don't know. I don't really know any more than that, to be honest. But I think certainly it's been slipping away for some time. But to be honest, look how old these guys are. It may well be time, mightn't it?
Yes.
To say, hang on a minute.
The thing is, well, you know, if you sing like Bob Dylan, then you can sing like Bob Dylan until the day you die. But that's high maintenance.
Yeah,
right?
That, well, the whole gig is...
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, to see the show. Have you seen them?
No, I've never seen them.
Woof, man alive. I mean, Angus Young is just, it's cosmic.
Yeah,
it's absolutely cosmic. You know, 2 hours of non-stop energy, you know.
Yeah.
It's so physical and
demanding.
Yeah,
you've got it damn fit to keep up with that.
Jesus,
that's,
God,
yeah.
man. It, you know, and is he 66, 67?
He? I think Malcolm's 64, so he's in that slot somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, he's around about that. You know, these are serious old guys to get as kind of animated as they are, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a big show. They're big, big shows. Massive, massive tours.
I've seen stuff like YouTube, whatever, Buenos Aires or something like that, and you just look, and it's, as far as the eye can see, there's just
Jesus, man. It's a religion. It's a cult. It really is. It really is a cult. Another strange track.
Great song. 1978, Steve Gibbons Band.
Never heard this.
Oh, okay. Down in the Bunker. I think the album was called Down in the Bunker as well. It's a good album.
I think the album is Down in the Bunker.
He's one of those legions of singers and songwriters that have caught the Bob Dylan thing for me.
Yeah.
This to me is Bob Dylan and Rocky.
It's got the,
It's got a bit of a Dylan feel.
Birmingham bloke, I think.
Is he? Humans.
Yeah, and I think all the musos were sort of from the Birmingham Black Country.
Right, okay.
Slot. And he had a golden period a bit before this. He had a couple of hit singles. And this album's good. I'm pretty sure the album's called Down in the Bunker.
Right. Joker, is that the...
Steve Miller you're thinking?
Steve Miller, okay.
I think Steve Gibbons still goes out, but it's in a low, clubs and... But he's one of those blokes, he's going to be able to sing that till he dies. He's not hurting himself there. It's all on cruise control.
Yeah, it's more to do with the sound of his voice rather than cranking it up again.
Good players in his band. I think Trevor Burton played on this. If the Essex scene had the R&B thing going on, I think he captures the Birmingham kind of pub rock crossover thing.
Little Steve Harley type of vibe as well in there, isn't that?
Yeah. I think that all traces back to Dylan somehow.
Yeah, probably.
Stylistically, you know.
Don't kill me, but there was a little bit back there of Sultans of Swing.
Yes.
A little, peppering.
You're in the same year there as well.
Is it same year?
78. I think actually, Sultans of Swing was probably 77, I think. I remember the first time I ever heard Dire Straits, because they're so much maligned, and I don't quite get it, because he's written some great songs and he is a fabulous guitarist.
Great players. Yeah.
I just remembered I was driving down the A12 and put the radio on and I heard Sultans of Swing. I'd never heard a mention of it ever before, and I heard that and I didn't know who it was, and I just thought, I remember thinking, is that Bob Dylan with an actual band?
Really?
That's having it. And at the end the bloke said, yeah, Dire Straits, and then I thought, who the fuck? That was my first encounter of Dire Straits. Me thinking, is this Bob Dylan? Because it sounds to me like the record Bob Dylan wants to make.
Maybe, you know? Through and convention or otherwise, he's not me and you're not making that up. <You
know? laughs> Good track,
isn't it?
Not the kind of thing I would have bought.
No.
Well, have we all enjoyed our cakes?
I'm loving
the cakes. I'm
caked. Are you scalded out?
I'm caked. But then I did tell you, if you put the stolen in front of me, it was going to get inhaled. I did warn you. My husband says I have no self-control, apparently.
Well, I do declare as they say in the trade.
So the fact that the stolen plate is almost empty doesn't exactly surprise me. Well, you know, it's New Year, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to live these things whilst you can. You're a bloody long time
dead. I totally agree, man.
So See, I always like these bits at the end where the guitarist is like, let it go, son. Yeah. Let it go.
Yeah. Bending the crap.
And off they go.
Yeah. And then when he hears the finished album, he goes, God, I find it out too early. There's that other bit where I went,
Yeah.
As we spoke about this, I'm going to drop this in just before the final track.
Where have you pulled that from? Beautiful.
Now, when you listen to this, you never think it's the band that it is. You'd never think it was.
No.
All this three chord shit and they can't play bugger all else. I mean, nonsense, isn't it?
Yes.
Totally nonsense. Back again listening.
Oh, but there are some tunes that deserve respect.
Totally agree. Yeah.
It's another one of those tunes where you can imagine if there was a piano in the corner of a pub and somebody said, I tell you what, got a guitar, come on, let's you know. Before they close the doors. No, actually, they've already closed the doors.
Lock it.
They've already closed the doors. Somebody get a bottle of whiskey out. Bang.
So you got America on the cards, Nick?
Well, nothing planned, not for next year, no. I mean, I'm still kind of working on stuff over there a bit. I'm more into Europe, actually.
Oh, are you?
I'm looking at doing some, well, hopefully if I can get it going on, some rather special exhibitions towards the end of next year. And a really big project that, if it comes off in Australia, would you believe?
Ooh, nice!
Yeah, they're chomping at the bit to get me over there.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Great.
And hook up on a couple of their festivals. They want me to do a couple of shows out there.
Cool.
A bit of a VIP tour as well, you know.
You need somebody to carry your camera.
Well, I tell you what, it's bloody hot.
Uh-oh. Yeah, yeah.
39, it was there Monday, I think.
God, no.
Where this, well, particular guy that's looking after my stuff, a guy called Eric Erickson. Hello, Eric, and happy new year to you, my friend.
I've always enjoyed everything you do, Eric, by the way, and I'm good at carrying luggage and everything.
Yeah.
And just generally looking good.
Yeah, well, I might have to work on that, Eric, yeah.
If we're looking for glamour.
Rather than glamour.
Well, if you're looking for glamour, you come to the wrong place.
But it's, well, we've been, Eric's been working on this thing for about 6 months. And they're really keen for me to take the Size Matters exhibition out there. And there's this huge festival that's basically in the middle of a desert.
Cool.
Where and it's a massive affair, and a lot of really high-end acts you know, perform there each year, but it's in the red sands of this particular desert, and it looks a really mean gig, and they want me to show Size Matters the 13 images at the festival and then shoot the festival for a book. That's the idea.
Wow.
And then do a VIP tour around various bits of Australia or whatever you can get to, because it's about the size of the planet, isn't it, Australia?
So what, man?
You know, so, my man Eric, he's in Adelaide, and, but this, he's putting this stuff together, trying to get it to, you know, to work all over the place, Perth and Sydney and various different places. And
yeah, because once you've got it all over there, you may as well.
Well,
yeah,
that's
you
it.
May as
I mean,
well make the most of it.
It could be the case of, you know, being over there for a month or two. That's the kind of plan, which I don't mind. I wouldn't be up for the flight. That bit seriously puts me off. I'm not a flying fan, really. I think it's because I was shot down in that hurricane in 42, I think that's what it was.
It stayed with you.
Ended
up
in the sea, you know it is. You know.
No, I spent 10 hours on a plane. It's not great. Oh, so Jesus, spending man. 24 hours practically yeah. on
well,
a plane
I mean,
is not
it's 10 hour flight to Nashville, you yeah. know, and when yeah. you do that, man, you know, I can't be dealing with it. I'm not a fan. Not a fan of flying and all that kind of stuff.
So you might be taking a slow boat to Australia then?
Well, I don't know how long it takes. It takes a bloody long time.
Long time.
Anyway, if it comes off, it'll be a good gig.
Yeah.
It'll be a good gig. But it'll be about, you know, a month, 6 weeks out there.
Nice.
So it could be. But like I say, man, it's hot. It's big boys hot.
Mm.
You know, where yeah. they are. And it's summer there now. And like I say, I think it was Monday, 39.
But it's a different sort of heat. It's a different sort of heat out there.
Well, even he said though it was fucking hot. Even he described it as that, you know. And he's an Australian.
So it must be if he said it's hot. Yeah.
But anyway, I think we're going to play out with a bit of a tribute to a guy that really comes from very much my era, who died sadly few weeks ago. I think this is one of the best he did.
Okay.
I wouldn't usually play this guy's stuff, but I thought this was a great track.
Yeah. Well, I didn't, but yes, when you actually step back and listen to it, it's beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah.
French.
Nice.
It's beautiful. That is superb, isn't it?
When you go back and listen after all this time and you were forced to by the man's death.
Yes.
You know, I was.
I was 15 and I didn't give a fig about anything he did.
Totally.
No.
Although he was bigger than life, wasn't
everything.
He?
Oh, yeah. He was.
He was the man.
That's
he
lovely,
really
isn't
was the man.
That is superb. You could imagine Andy Williams singing that.
Yeah, you could, yeah. The construction of the track is it's really wonderful.
Yes,
production.
It really is.
Little piano and a bit, like you're saying, little squeeze box.
It's that sort of craft that you don't get a lot these days. I'm not saying that it isn't there. You know, some doom-mongery, oh, it's all shit that comes out now. It's not true, but there are less and less people for whom the craft such as this is an important part of making a song, which is a pity, because, you know, some great stuff has come out from the idea that there's a craft to making a song as opposed to
definitely.
Just thinking of the pound, shilling
totally,
and pence.
Totally.
You know, what merchandise can we flog off it, you know?
Well, I wanted to close the show, you know, obviously on the back of the guy's death, although there's been a lot, as we spoke earlier on, of a lot of deaths this year, but I don't know, this one just really touched me. Probably, I think, because it was from that era of me starting in my career.
Yes.
You know, and also, you know, I was at the Peter Reeve in Telegraph when this guy was the size he was then. And I can remember doing a lot of images from the stock library from EMAP, as it was then, which I shouldn't have done. But I did for a special lady, a lovely lady called Donna Allen, that was the sister of a very, very good friend of mine, Chris Allen. And it kind of all plugged in together when I knew that he was poorly and he died, you know. So, good times, good times.
Yeah, this could easily be Andy Williams singing a Burt Bacharach song.
Yeah, Burt Backache, yeah.
That's beautiful, I've not listened to it since I was a kid, when I wasn't listening.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, guys, I think it's that's about it. We're about done for 2017. I think we should wish everybody a happy new queer.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Mike.
Thanks for having me again.
No problem. Happy
Thank
New
you
Year.
Thank you for again.
The gorgeous Sir Royce. Thank you.
Year.
Thank you.
Oh, also, with clash glasses there.
Fantastic.
Clash frames.
Clash glasses.
caught between attempting to get my lovely earrings stuck in your beard.
Well, you still got your Christmas earrings, haven't you?
Well, yeah, you know, they have a shelf life only for a certain period during the year. So yeah. I like to make the full effect of them.
Then they'll go away.
And then 1st of January, they'll go back in the box for another year.
Well, let's wish all the listeners worldwide a very, very happy New Year. Prosperous one and a healthy one to everybody.
And a peaceful one. Imagine that.
We'll go for a peaceful one.
Yeah.
And Kim Bing Bong Yong thing, stop it.
Let's hope they stop waggling their dicks at each other.
And that other one, you put your dick away as well.
That's told you.
Yeah.
You slammed on
it. Got it.
Can't say that.
I didn't hear what he said, but I don't like to say what was that. I'll ask afterwards.
Don't repeat that.
Okay. Oh, dear.
A Night In is brought to you by Ashwood Music.